Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
All right, praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn to your neighbor. Tell them you're lucky you got to sit by me tonight. Let them know they're lucky to hang out with you. And if you have a Bible on you tonight, I want you to go ahead and open it up to the Gospel of St. Matthew. Let's open the Bible up to the Gospel. Come on, come help me, honey. We're going to go to the Gospel of St. Matthew.
I like to sneak up on him, keep him on his toes.
She does this. She flows in. Like, I had a doctor's appointment the other day, and I'm sitting in the office at the doctor's appointment, all right? I'm talking to a guy that goes to the church, and all of a sudden, Jesse comes through the door in my doctor's appointment, walks over and tells me what to ask or say to the doctor, and then turns around and walks out. I'm like, do you see what I'm dealing with here right now? You see this? Pray for me, brother. But she shows up all the time, so it keeps me
how
in line.
How many of you women tell your husband what to ask the doctor whenever that? Thank you. And it's then normal. They don't tell all the details. I needed to know some things.
Yeah, you want to know some stuff, huh?
I do.
And whenever she asks me how my day was, here's what I say, because I'm a man. Fine. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about,
all
right?
All the men are like, yes.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. What did the doctor say? He said I'd be okay. You know?
No, that's not what you say. You always say, like that. He said I would live and not die.
I'll
declare the word
I'll
of
live
the
and
Lord.
Not die. Like the Bible says.
Yeah, and when I ask you what you're going to wear, you every single time since almost 20 years that I've asked him, what are you going to wear today? Because girls, we ask that so we can look appropriate, right? We're going somewhere. We want to know what caliber of dress we're going to dress in. Every single time without fail and no further explanation. I don't know why I still ask, because he has said, I'm wearing my tuxedo today.
I always wear a tux. Every time we go anywhere, I wear a tux. I got my tux on tonight. Praise God. All right. We're going to, that's enough.
That was all free.
That's all free. That's the comedy routine we're working on. Stand up. But are you, if you have a Bible, you can open it up to Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to talk about the power of your words. We started talking about that last week. And I've found, as a pastor and a leader of a church, I've been a senior pastor now since 2004. And we worked in the ministry for years. I don't think Jesse can ever remember not working in ministry. Her father was a pastor. She was a kid's pastor almost. She wasn't called that, but she functioned as that when she was a child. And when she was in youth ministry, the church out there would hire youth ministers. But whenever I got there, to be honest, Jesse a lot of times was more mature than the youth minister and was leading the youth minister years and years ago, the youth ministry.
I was at least bossing them around.
So I'll tell you, at least bossing them around and tell them what you thought. And for years, we've been pastoring and leading people. And here's something I see that we all deal with and we're all prone to slipping back into, even though we know better. How many of y'all would admit that you know that your tongue and your words are powerful as Christians? We believe that, right? How many of y'all would admit this week you've said something you shouldn't have said? All right, we'll all admit that as well. So it's like something that you don't need to check yourself on like monthly or annually. Some things you need an annual checkup. There are some things we need a daily, maybe an hourly checkup on. And I believe the power of our words and what we're saying out of our mouth is one of those things that we need a daily checkup on.
You know, when you go to the doctor, you go for your yearly checkup for the big ones like cancer. You know, people get mammograms, scans, all those things once a year. But how many of you know, especially if you're a junior high boy, you need to check for if it's time to take a shower at least once a day?
Yeah, twice a day.
That's twice a day. That's right. And that's what your words are. You know, there's other parts of your spiritual walk that can be checked every 6 months to a year. But just think of your words as your daily check for how you smell and whether or not it's time to take a shower. Because words do smell.
Yeah, that's right. They have an aroma. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37. I want you to look down at it. We're going to read the words of Jesus. It's one of the most powerful things about what we're saying and about what we have inside of us. Matthew 12, verse 33, here's what it says. It says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Jesus is rebuking a group of religious leaders who have the wrong heart. They have a form of godliness. They deny the power thereof. And he starts talking to them, and he says some rough things, straight things to them. He calls them a brood of vipers. And he says, if you're evil, how can you say good things? But he starts out with this. He says, either make the tree good or make the tree bad. He says, the tree's either good or it's bad. Everybody say good or bad. And he says, there's a way you can identify the essence of a person's life. He says, the fruit, you can tell the type of tree that it is by looking at the fruit of the tree. And if it's got apples on it, it is an apple tree. If it's got oranges on it, it is an orange tree. Come on, somebody. If it has plums on it, it is a plum tree. If it has raspberries on it, it is a raspberry tree. Just checking to see if you're listening right now. And you're not, because you didn't catch it, all right? So maybe you did, and it just wasn't funny. So anyway, I'm just saying, you can tell the kind of thing that's going on by the tree, by the fruit it produces. Same is true as a human and as a person. Come on, we can tell what kind of person we're dealing with by the fruit their life is producing. Somebody say amen to that. And now American culture hates that, and it fights against it. And it says things like this. It says things like, you can't judge me. How many know that's the scripture everybody knows in America now? Come on.
How many of you have ever used that scripture?
Have you ever used that on somebody in your family? You know, they're talking about the way you're living. Come on, I used to say it to my mom years ago. It's like, come on, mom, I know I'm getting drunk and I'm running around and I'm smoking crank, but judge not lest ye be judged. I'm more righteous than you, right? And that's the one scripture everybody uses. They don't even understand the full context of what Jesus is saying. Jesus isn't saying there's never a judgment. He's saying judge with a righteous form of judgment. Judge with a righteous form of judgment. It's not wrong to judge. How many know there's an ultimate lawgiver and a judge? And he's not going to be wrong for judging us at the end of the day. But his judgment will be righteous, right? His judgment will be right. Now, none of us can pass a final judgment on anyone's eternity. That power's not in our hands. That's not what I'm saying. We can't condemn people to heaven or hell. That's not on us. Come on, somebody. How many are thankful that we don't have to make that decision as human beings? I don't want to make that decision. I don't want to do that. But I know that day's coming, and judgment is not always wrong, but it's a righteous form of judgment. And if the word says don't do it, then it's wrong. You can say judge not lest you be judged to people all you want, but still I'm telling you, a judgment is coming. Now, I've heard people say this before. They'll say things like, only God can judge me. You ever see them write that on Facebook? They like use it like I'm getting off the hook. That should be the most terrifying revelation of your life, right? It's not a light in the load, and God is a loving God, but I'm telling you, he is a lawgiver, and he is a judge. He is. So, you know, you'll hear people say this, and I've used this illustration many times. And we'll talk about a family member who we love or a friend whom we love. And I've done it, and I know you have too. And you'll be like, you know, I have this uncle, and I have Uncle Bill. And Uncle Bill is, Uncle Bill's got some problems, right? Uncle Bill drinks too much, and Uncle Bill had a hard time not beating his wife. And Uncle Bill never kept a job, and Uncle Bill wouldn't pay his bills. And Uncle Bill, you know, one time he got messed up, and he shot up the trailer park next door to the house. But I'm telling you, Uncle Bill is a good guy. He's got a good heart, doesn't he, Bill?
Bill and Mayfield is helping us.
Bill's heard me preach this enough years, you can preach
just
it for me.
Getting in there
so
with
I'm
us.
Telling you, he's got, Bill has a good heart, but what does Jesus say about the heart? He says the absolute opposite, doesn't he?
It's true.
He says if the tree is good, it'll bring forth. If the tree is evil, it'll bring forth what?
Evil.
Now, even good people can have a bad day. But we're talking about the major produce of a person's life, right? You can find a bad apple on a good tree, But I'm talking about the majority of those apples are going to be good, or it's not a good tree.
Absolutely. I want to say this. I think sometimes, I didn't know this because I'm from West Texas and we don't grow things there.
They don't have trees.
But I moved to Kentucky and I figured, and then I saw people with these fruit trees and I would say, you know, how do you get a lot of fruit on your tree? And they'd say, well, it's taken a few years, but now the production has really come up. And they would say that a lot. I thought, what does that mean? And as I started asking them to explain it, they would say, you know, maybe the tree was new, or I guess even if it went through like a trauma of some sort, that it would stop producing as much. But then as the years go on, if you take care of the tree, then it begins to produce more fruit comes on it. And then people are able to eat of that tree. And if you're like Mr. Jordan, you have your best bumper crop year of your peaches, and then your neighbor steals them all from you and you have to get saved. But I do know something, that sometimes when people are young believers, they're not producing a lot of fruit yet. And two things happen. They get really frustrated because they aren't as, they don't have as much fruit as they want to have in their life yet. And they keep making mistakes and they keep making errors and they get frustrated. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're a new believer, that your fruit yield is coming up this year.
That's good, Jess.
In Jesus' name. I want you to start saying that over yourself and just believe in that God is creating in you. And then the other thing that happens in church is that people that have known God for a really long time, they're like, I don't think that guy knows it and knows the Lord. He still is so jacked up. I don't even know what to. And so as pastors, we have to encourage them, you know, be careful, be gentle, be patient with these people as their fruit yield begins to rise. And so if you see someone and they don't have a lot of fruit on their life, but they're new in the faith, it's not time to just cut the tree down. It's time for you to put something in their soil,
yes,
for you to invest into them, for you to love them, for you to encourage them, for you to help direct them, be good to them, and let that fruit produce. I remember we had a young kid in our church and he was on our stage, and we just think it's respectful on stage for people not to have their hat on their head, you know, because that affects some people and they don't feel like it's respectful. And so we just want to honor people's tradition. And so I said to him, we didn't have a lot of rules back then. It was a little bit wild.
We had like zero rules back then. We just started a church. When you've been around for a while, you can kind of be a little more choosy on who's helping you. When you first start, you're like, let's get that guy, pull him in here, and get him to help us do something because we don't have anybody. We were looking for bodies as props at this point in our ministry to act like there was somebody in the church.
So new believers have one of two ways. They're either frustrated that they're not producing fruit really quickly, or they become an instant theologian and they think they know everything. And this guy happened to be an instant theologian, and he got up on the platform, and I said, hey, buddy. And he goes, the Lord looks at my heart. I said, well, I'm looking at your head. Take your hat off. And he just took that hat off, you know. But he's just a young person who just come into Christ. So don't be so obstinate that you don't let people invest in your soil. But don't be frustrated that you're not getting anywhere, because I'm telling you, you're going to hit a year and your bumper crop's coming in. God's just going to start. He's been investing in your soil and you're really going to start to grow. So I just want to encourage that, because a lot of times people don't see fruit. They get frustrated with other people that they don't have fruit. But also, if you don't have enough fruit on your tree, it can become a frustration in your life. So I just wanted to throw that in there for you.
It says this, it says, he goes on after he talks about that, and he says, for out of the abundance of the heart. Everybody say the abundance of the heart.
The abundance of the
Come on, say it again. Say the abundance.
The abundance.
One more time, the abundance.
The abundance.
I want you to get this. He says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in my heart is coming out of my mouth. Whatever I put in here is going to come out of here. And come on, what comes out of here is powerful. I believe that what comes out of my mouth is framing my future. You know, the Bible says the world was framed with the word of God. The world was framed. Literally, the framing of the earth, it happened with the word of the living God. The world was framed with the word of God. And I believe that our words are framing our world. Your words are framing your world. And if you've got positive words that line up with the word of God, I think you're going to have a positive life and you're going to bear the fruit of God. Come on, somebody. If you've got faithless words that line up with the word of this world system, you're going to have a faithless life that doesn't produce what the word of God says it will. So it's so important what we put in our heart. What we put in our heart will ultimately become the words of our mouth. And how many of you have ever had an issue with somebody? Maybe you had somebody in your family that you had a deal with, or maybe it was somebody in the community or at work you had a deal with, and you went around some people that were connected to both you and this person. And you get there to the function, whatever it may be, and you're telling yourself when you get there, if anybody asks me about this incident or the friction we've had in our life, I'm not going to say anything about that person. I'm not going to say anything about it. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going there tonight. I'm not going to do it. And then you walked in there and somebody brought up that person's name. And you're like, oh, let me tell you something about that guy. Huh? You flipped on a dime, didn't you? And you're like, you start telling your side of the story, and it's so easy to get into that. I've done it. I've been guilty of it. And what it is, why did you go there with your words? You went there because that was the abundance of your heart. I can find out what's in somebody's heart. I've watched it. At times in pastoral ministry, you'll find out where people are. If you'll just be quiet and you look across and don't say anything. You know, people get nervous when people stop talking. Especially if you're somebody that talks all the time like me. If I stop talking, people get nervous and they start talking a lot of times. I've been stonewalled a few times in life, but not a lot. And then I can listen. I can tell what's in the heart by what comes out of the mouth. Come on. If you want to know where your kids are at in life, listen to their words, right? If you want to know what's going on in your marriage, listen to the words of your spouse. You can find out what's happening there. The words of the mouth are absolutely powerful there. They're strong. It's big time.
Honestly, the biggest struggle that I have had as a believer is with my tongue and getting it under control. And God will not stop at anything to get your tongue under control, because what is in you starts to come out, and then you say it and it gets in you again. You know, you see what I'm saying? And if you don't replace it with something good and you don't silence the bad, then you never shift the content of who you are. And so the Lord took me through a season whenever I was a teenager. He'd let me go out with my friends. He'd let me do whatever I wanted to do, but he'd say, while you're there, I want you to be quiet. That was the hardest season of my life, because I was with my friends and I wanted to have fun and I'm a talker and I wanted to say something. And he'd say, you don't get to say anything tonight. You get to say hello. You get to say goodbye. You get to say thank you. That is it. That is what you get to say. And it was like God was just pulling in the reins on me. But I'm so grateful for that even today, because there's times that I have a tough time. Every single day I have to control my tongue. And even this week, Brian and I, we did the exercise that we were talking about last week. And we got a hold of a verse. It says that with man nothing is possible, but with God, or with man it is impossible, but with God it is possible. And we took every part of our life that we were either frustrated with, underwhelmed with, needed help with, something that we didn't feel like we could move, and we began to say, this is impossible with man, but with God, this is possible. Amen. We don't know how to raise kids just in our human way, but with God, we are capable of raising kids. We began to just confess every single portion of our life. When you start to do that, you start to believe it. Your words change the temperature of your house, your marriage, your life, everything around you.
It's the abundance of the heart that matters. Let me key on this for 1 second. Everybody, let's say it one more time. The abundance.
The abundance.
Have you ever seen people that they knew? I've seen guys, they know a ton about the Word of God. I've seen guys that are filled with the Spirit. I've seen even guys that are ministers of the Word of God. Occupationally, they teach the Bible. I'm talking about guys that know the book from Genesis to Revelation. And I've watched them that have led churches and even be miracle workers, do amazing things, some of the strongest Christian ministers in a nation. I've watched them take a turn somewhere in life and do crazy stuff, go to crazy town, do something to destroy their family, destroy their ministry, destroy their voice. Not a ton of them, but some of them. How many of y'all have ever witnessed something like that? So I'm not mad at those guys. I pray for those guys. Come on, I believe that God's going to restore them and use them again. I don't talk bad about them. I try to lift them up with my words now. How many know that anybody that's messed up, no matter what they've done in the body of Christ, we are not against them or angry with them. We are for them and want to lift them and restore them. Come on, are y'all believe we're a church of restoration? I don't want to stomp on people when they're down, man. I don't care who they are, where they've been, or what they've done. I want to lift them up. And I'm into lifting people, but here's how they got there. They knew all of this stuff, and they still did it. And you can look at it at times, and you'll be like, how did that person that knew so much of the Word of God, operate in so much of the power of God? How did they allow that thing to happen in their life? And there's a very easy answer. They had all of that in their life. They knew the Word. They knew the power. They've been around it. But they let time begin to change the abundance of their heart. So was the Word in there? Yeah, the Word was in there. But lust grew larger. It became the abundance of their heart. Right? You ever had some times where maybe anger, you allowed anger to become the abundance of your heart? And you knew better, right? We knew better, didn't we? We've been trained better. We know the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We know that the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, right? But in that moment, I let anger become the abundance of my heart, and then I act out in anger because now we don't act out of what we know. We act out of the abundance of what's in our heart. So you have to learn to control the abundance. If you can control the abundance, you can control your life. If you can control the abundance, you can control your tongue. And if you can control the abundance, you can control the outcome of your life. It's the abundance that's so powerful because it's going to change. Out of the abundance of the heart, the life acts. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of your life. Just say this out loud. Say, my life
is flowing
from my heart. See, that's where our life comes from. Our life isn't coming from somewhere on the outside. Our life is coming from on the inside. A lot of people, they'll say, I'm not happy where I'm at, so I'll go somewhere new. And then they go somewhere new, and they're not happy there either. And so they're like, there's something wrong with this place, so they go somewhere else, right? If I go over here, now maybe I'll be happy. Or I'm not happy in this marriage, so I'll find another marriage. But now they're not happy in that marriage. And they go to another marriage. Now they're not happy in that marriage. Because the place isn't the problem with some people. Sometimes there's a problem with the place. But how many know that every place has some kind of problem if you stay there long enough, right? Come on, I love Southern Florida in February. But go to Southern Florida in August. It's not so awesome now, is it? Because what went from perfect is now 120. And it's not cool anymore. See, the problem isn't always the place. Come on, most of the time the problem is the person. And if we can fix the person, then the person learns to deal with the place. And that becomes maturity in our lives. Man, that's good preaching.
Yeah, and good preaching.
Y'all are just looking at me right now. I don't know what's happening in here. But I'll tell you, it's good. So what I want to do is I want to make my person right. So I have to run from place to place to place. Because if I'll make my person right, then I can get rooted and I can get planted where God calls me in my life, in my workplace, in my marriage, in my church. And if I stay rooted long enough, I'll bear good fruit.
True. We were just in Thailand 2 weeks ago, and they took us to the town dump. And there is literally a mountain of garbage. They don't put it under the ground. They put it over the ground. And so there's a mountain of garbage, and they've hired all these families to come in and sort through this garbage. And there are kids running through the garbage and adults, and they built houses in the middle of the garbage, and they eat out of the garbage, and they dig through the garbage to get what they need. Well, a few years ago, the ministry that we work with started sending someone in every single week to do a Bible study and then put them through a discipleship Bible school program. And these people start...
Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine used to do it, didn't you? You were over there with them. And did you go in once a week, Catherine, over there with them? No, but on the regular, so you were in there. And so they would go in and they would teach and they get a certificate for completion of these things. And it's the first thing they've ever had a certificate from. And these kids, I mean, their school is in the dump. Their houses are in the dump. Everything's in the dump. They don't leave the dump. And so they started going in and they started teaching these people the Bible. And it's gone from being a place where they sold their children into sex trafficking on the regular. I mean, it was a great place for traffickers to come and find people who wanted to do that. But now it has shifted from being one of the primary places to being a place that rarely ever happens now. And we were walking through. Yeah, it's incredible. The Word of God changes the content of your heart and the environment and your culture all around you. And we walked in, and the people that were with me, when we left, they were in tears. And I said, "You guys okay?" And they said, We're not crying. We should be crying because those people live in a dump. But we're crying because those people are so happy in that dump. I mean, everywhere you went, these kids were singing, dancing, skipping. They were smiling. The people were smiling. But the word of the Lord had come right there. So what Brian's saying about it, not being your place, it's about the abundance of your heart and what comes out of it. I mean, obviously, there's some shift that needs to go on in their environment. But how grateful are we for where God has placed us, and how much, if those people can be happy in that situation and be grateful for what they have, and an orange changes their day, how much can the word of God change us in this situation and anything that we face? You know, I just think it's incredible to see what God can do through the infusion of the word of God. You can find someone who's negative, sick, broke, doesn't like anything, doesn't like anybody, not able to keep a relationship, and you can infuse them with the word of God. They can infuse themselves. You can't do enough to change someone with the word of God. They have to personally choose for the word of God to change them. But this is what I will tell you as a practical note. All of you parents, do we have any parents in here today? Whenever we see our kids doing something that is continuous, that is becoming a part of their being, not just one little mistake or word that they say, sometimes just a word that they say. You know, have you ever had your kids call your other kids stupid? I know your kids are perfect, but have you ever had your kids call your other kids something that they shouldn't have called them? Well, we just stop them and say, hey, that's not true about them. The truth is that they are this. And then we say, you say it over them. And we make them say it over their sibling. And then we stop and we say, now you know that that's not true about you, so I want you to say this over yourself. And then we have them confess the word of God over themselves. When my kids feel like they can't pass tests, I say, I want you to say this with me. I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Oh, Mom, not again. I have the mind of Christ. Yeah, Mom, you told me this last week on Friday when the spelling test was. I have the mind of Christ. And then we just keep on saying it. And I say it over them until they say it over themselves. I don't care if they mumble it, say it under their breath, act disgusted. I could care less. The word is quick, and it is powerful, and it goes into the depths of their heart, and it changes their existence. Why in the world, as Christian parents, wouldn't we use the tool that God's placed in our hand to shift them everywhere they go, in school, everywhere they go with friends, everywhere that they go in their life? Everyone is saying over them what the world, what the devil wants them to hear about themselves. And instead of going and getting on to the person that's bullying them at school, we need to infuse them with the word of God. Instead of being angry that they're not being treated just perfect, we need to come at them and say, listen, the world will always say the wrong, but God says something different over you. You are the head and you are never the tail. Do you understand that? Now I want you to say it over yourself. And they're going to act like you are the craziest human being that they've ever met. And they're going to act disgusted with your sheer existence when they're in junior high. But it doesn't make any difference because the word of God is still true. And it works if we'll work it in our families. And I feel strong about that. I'm telling you, our kids are going to be the difference makers. But the only way that they're going to become that is we can't just wait on Sunday for the kids' team to do their job. We can't just wait for Wednesday nights for those workers to say over our kids. We have to tell them what God thinks about them, because if not, the devil is just whispering in their ear every day what he thinks about them. Everything that he wants them to think negative about themselves, it's going in their ear, and he is whispering it to them every single day. And if we will take every opportunity we can to speak the word of God over them, it will change their hearts and change their life.
It'll change the abundance of their heart.
Amen.
Right? Jesus said this. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart will bring forth good things.
Amen.
And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart will bring forth evil things. It's what we load our heart with is what our life manifests, and our words, it's what it will be. Now, I want to close with a story I heard today. I heard it. I was listening to an audiobook. I heard it today, and it was about Thomas Edison. And Thomas Edison, one of the greatest inventors there ever been. We would be sitting in darkness right now if it weren't for Thomas Edison, you know? And it's funny. Oh, well, I'll leave that alone tonight. We'll just talk about Thomas Edison, all right? Thomas Edison, great inventor. There's many inventions that we use every day that people will argue might not even be on the planet right now if it weren't for Edison. When Edison was a small child, He was sent home from school with a sealed note for his mother. And he brought the note to his mother and gave it to the mother from the schoolmaster at the school where Edison went to. The mother opened up the note and opened it up, saw it, and read to Edison. Said, Edison, he's looking, what does the note say, Mom? He said, this note says that you are a genius. And they don't have a teacher that's qualified to train you at the school. And they've asked that I would train you at home or find someone else to train you because you're a genius. His mother put the note away, and Thomas Edison was raised and trained his mother and however she could get it done, believing that he was doing that because he was a genius. And sometime later, I don't know if he found the note or I don't know if his mother revealed to him what the note really said. But what the note really said about Edison from the schoolmaster was she opened it up in front of her son and she read the note and it said, your son is a dullard. He's not smart. He's dim-witted. He's not able. And we think our resources at the school would be better used on another child. You're on your own to educate him. And the mother so believed in her child. Think about how she just got that fast on her feet. That she wasn't going to speak death over her child. Instead of calling him dumb, she called him a genius. And I'll tell you, I don't know if the workings of a genius were already there or not, or if that mama said it over him and he began to believe it, and then he got somewhere on the inside thinking, I can do anything, I'm smarter than anybody else, I'm a genius. That's the power of your words. That's the power of what you believe. That is powerful. And I'm telling you, if we speak inability, and we speak that we can't, and we speak impossibility, that's what we'll have in life. If we speak dullard, we'll have dullard. If we speak genius, I believe we'll have genius. And if we speak faith, we'll get answers. And if we speak miracle, we'll see the power of God in our life. Listen, you're going to eat the words of your mouth. You'll eat the fruit of your mouth. And what you say is what you're going to get. If you say I'm sick, you'll be sick. If you say I'm broke, you'll be broke. If you say I'm never happy, you will never be happy. But if you say I'm healed, you'll be healed. If you say I'm prospering, you'll begin to prosper. If you'll say I'm a success, you'll begin to succeed. I think we ought to go home and look at all of our children and tell them you're a genius. I'm gonna ask that Jesse would tell me I'm a genius 27 times a day now. That's my request. And I'm telling you, there's power in it. There's power in your words. Amen?
Absolutely, because you create and you speak a harvest in your life. What we say today is the tomorrow that we live in. You can do this for yourself. You can do this for your family. You can do this over people that you just genuinely have no idea how it'll end up for them. Just in public. Today I ran into a single mom who's raising four kids all by herself. Her husband passed away a few years ago. And I've just made it my point every time that I see this woman that I'm going to speak life into her. Every time I see her, I'm like, you are totally killing it as a mother. She's like, why do you say that? I think that you're doing a great job. I believe in God that these boys are going to grow up and they're going to just love every minute that they spent in your house. So I don't feel like I'm killing it. I say, you know what? You might not feel like it, but I'm telling you, these boys are going to say our mom was the best mom that ever lived. She did such a great job. I just know they are. And she doesn't even look like she believes it. But I picked her out. She is now my person that I'm going to speak life over. And you may have someone in your life that just looks like they need life spoken over them. Maybe they are just someone that you know God is working in and through, but they need encouragement. The best thing you can do is get a positive something and say it over their life and let them know that you believe in them, that God has a plan for them, that he has provided a plan for them, not of good, but not of evil. It is of good. Not of evil, but of good, to give them a future and a hope. Yes. And I tell you what, it is great when someone says something like that over you. When someone looks at you and tells you you're doing great. How many of you hate it when someone looks at you and tells you that you're terrible at what you do? It's just depressing, isn't it? It is discouraging. It makes you want to quit, lay down on the floor, stomp like a three-year-old and cry. It doesn't make you want to go and perform. But when people speak life over you, it makes you want to rise to the expectation. That is why God created and wrote his word was because he wanted you to know what he sees in your future. He is not speaking. He said, speak things that be not, as though they already are. So any place that you see deficiency, you just begin to speak the word and let God invade that space in your life and in your home.
Amen. Would you stand up on your feet? Let us pray for you tonight. Amen. And want to tell you one thing before we pray, and that is Sunday morning we're going to start a series on relationships. It's Valentine's Day, and we're going to talk about relationships. We'll be talking about marriage. We'll be talking about those relationships. And over the next several weeks, we'll talk about various types of relationships, how to honor God in our relationships. You ought to invite somebody to come out this week. I think it's the kind of thing that people know we need help in, right? You just kind of know it. It's like, I need help in that area. So I want to encourage you to take one of the cards out of the back of the seat. You ought to get a couple of them and take them and invite one person to come to church with you on Sunday. I've already got mine in this week. I'll just let you know. Want to encourage you. I invited somebody, ran into them at the Cracker Barrel, was eating with the family, and invited them to come to the house of God. And you know, you kind of feel, listen, I'm a pastor. And sometimes I still get a little, I don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's the devil. But how many of you still, you're a Christian for years, but sometimes you still get a little nervous whenever you know you're supposed to invite somebody or talk to them or say something to them about the Lord. How many of y'all, does that happen to anybody other than me? I'm telling you, I just want you to know that happens to everybody. And the strongest thing you can do, you feel, that's the way the Lord operates. The Lord speaks to our spirit, right? And sometimes I'll be looking at somebody and my spirit will start to jump. And I know I'm supposed to do something for them. Most of the time if I'm out there on the street somewhere, if I don't have a word for them, I know that I'm supposed to invite them to church. Sometimes when I get over to them, God will give me a piece of information for them or something like that, and I'll give them a word. But a lot of times it's just an invitation thing. But a lot of times my spirit begins to jump. And then my spirit begins to jump, and then my flesh gets nervous. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? It's like, oh, what if I invite them and they hate me for inviting them? You know, I've had very few people ever attack me for inviting them to church, by the way. Very few. Most of the time, people are encouraged when you ask. They're like, yeah, where's it at? I'll come to your church sometime. And whether they ever come or not, that's one thing. But you did your part. So I want to encourage you. I think God can use you. I'm telling you, massive change can come to people's lives just by an invite. My life was changed because people invited me to church. They were praying for me and they were inviting me. And it's like when they started inviting me, it opened up a doorway for the Spirit of God begin to work in my life. When you invite somebody, I think you're just opening up a doorway for the Holy Spirit to begin to work in their life. So we're going to pray for that. We're going to pray for this weekend service. And we're going to pray for you. Let's pray. Father, we pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth for every person here. Lord, I pray that you would help us move in your word and that we would guard our words. Father, we declare, we know that life and death are in the power of the tongue. So we choose that we're going to speak life. And Lord, as we speak life, things are going to happen. Your word is going to manifest itself in our life. Lord, I thank you that you might use us now as your ambassadors in the city. I pray that you would anoint us to be a witness. I declare that we're effective soul winners and ministers of the New Testament. Lord, use us to bring somebody to you. Now, come on, I want you to use the power of your tongue tonight. Let's confess over our life. I want you just to say this out loud tonight. Say, Father,
I thank you
that life and death, are in the power of my tongue.
Are in the power of my tongue.
I choose to speak life.
I thank you
that out of the abundance,
of my heart,
My mouth speaks. I load my heart with the word of God.
With the word of God.
So the right word
comes out.
I declare
that your will
is happening
in my life.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done.
On my earth. As it is in heaven. Lord, I thank you.
That you use me.
To use my life.
That you use my giftings. For your glory.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.